The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Baptism with fire. Wow, thank you, Pastor Otis. Appreciate that. Amen. Glory. Nobody else wants fire in here. Come on now. Here's what I want you to understand. There is a baptism of fire. And I'm going to share some things with you, but every person that ever walked on the face of the earth and truly impacted the world for Jesus Christ had the baptism of fire. And I can prove it to you historically. Every one of them talked about it. Now, not all of them spoke in tongues. Not all of them understood that part of it. But they all had the baptism of the fire. Because it was burning inside of them to share the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever they went. And they had subsequent experiences apart from salvation. And they all record it and they all talk about it. Got you quiet. Don't be afraid of the fire. Embrace the fire. Call for the fire. Desire the fire. Burn. Wesley says that we're to catch fire. Catch fire so that people can come and watch us burn.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that what we need? We need to catch fire. I'm sick and tired of the Church of Jesus Christ being dead. You know, the enemy has thrown water on our fire. It's still smoldering there. And if we can just blow it a little bit, stir it up, dry it out, it'll catch fire again. There's going to be fire. There's going to be fire in this place. There's going to be fire in the kingdom of God. There's going to be fire on this earth. We need fire right now. We need the fire from the Holy Spirit to set this world ablaze. Right now, we are looking at some situations in our world that could be devastating. Wars and rumors of wars, economic collapse. Listen, if you know anything, watch a little bit of the news. Listen to the, try to read between the lines with some of the things that they're talking about. We are rapidly coming to the place in the United States where we're not even going to be able to service our debt on a monthly basis. Amen? You guys understand that, right? You know how bad this is. We need God.
Amen.
We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You and I, every one of us, in order to be able to maintain on a regular basis in our life, we've got to tap into the fire.
Yes, sir. Yes.
The fire has to be there. Glory. I don't talk about politics and who I vote for and that sort of thing most of the time. I'm just kind of private about that. But I want you to understand something. I don't believe, let me tell you what I believe is going to happen if President Obama is reelected. I believe that if things continue going the way they're going right now, we are going to see a financial collapse. Hyperinflation is on its way. And there's going to be a financial collapse. Now, let me tell you what I believe is going to happen if Mitt Romney is elected. The same thing.
Yeah. Come on. Come on.
I just want you to understand. Both of these men are globalists.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only God. Only God can change a man's heart. Only God can change the direction of this nation. Now, I have some strong feelings about moral issues and things like that. I vote my morals. And I ask everybody in here to pray and vote your morals.
Amen.
For the president. But, you know, we can't limit it to the president. There's Congress. There's senators. There's local elections. Vote your morals, people. Don't put crooks in office. Who can know who these people are? Let's do right before the Lord. We are in a situation that we are in because we have been lax in our spiritual desire and our spiritual understanding. We need the fire of God. We need the power of God. And let me tell you something. Something that I'm going to just divert a little bit from this message, but I think it ties in. We are in a season right now, October, Halloween, where people are running around all over the place, pretending to be witches, going to haunted houses, embracing the holiday of Halloween, dressing up like demons, watching scary movies, zombies and vampires and all these kind of things. And I would like to say to you this morning that it's just the world that's doing that, but it's not. It's believers in Jesus Christ. And I am sick and tired of pastors who do not have enough spiritual ability to discern what the Word of God says about these things. Jesus said we wrestle, or the Word of God tells us, Paul said this, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. How many believe that? Amen. Hallelujah. How many believe that when Jesus went into the wilderness, he was tempted of the devil? The devil, a real entity. Lucifer. The dragon. He's named all kinds of names in the scripture. But he's the same person. And he is a person. He's a personality. He's not a person like we are, flesh and blood. He's a spiritual entity. And yes, he does manifest himself from time to time. And he did that with Jesus. And Jesus, being the Son of God, kept telling him, kept referring back to the Word. The Word. The Word. The Word says. The Word says. The Word says. You see, that's why we're in the condition we're in right now. That's why pastors stand up in the pulpits every Sunday morning. And their people come in and they're in adultery. They're in all kinds of sexual immorality. They're caught up in pornography. They can't manage their pocketbook. That's just as bad. And they tell sweet little stories and encourage people to go back out and just live the same life that they've been living. Listen, it's time for repentance in the body of Christ. It's time to draw close to our God. We need it. We need His power. We need His presence. My goodness. I have been praying and asking God. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit a long time. Many years. But I want you to understand something. I do know this. That even though you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, I don't care how many times you speak in tongues. I don't care if you speak in tongues all day long. There are times in our life where we will go through a spiritual doldrums. Amen? And guess whose responsibility it is to come out of it? That's ours. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not the Spirit of God. It's not that we can show up here on Sunday morning and say, okay, God, zap me again. Come on, just zap me. I need zapped. No. Charles Finney, the great evangelist, said that, and he knew that he was filled with the Spirit. It was a little different teaching, a little different way. But listen, he was definitely filled with the Spirit, the things that happened in his life. He would get on a train and to travel someplace. And people would fall out in the Spirit and cry out, what must I do to be saved? Just because of the presence of the man. That's power. That's anointing. Ha. And he said that he would go through times where he was feeling spiritually inept. And what he had to do was set aside a day of prayer and fasting to get the fire back. And he said it never failed. If I was that way one Sunday, I would pray and fast, and the next Sunday I would be on fire again, ready to go, ready to preach, ready to teach, ready to reach people, ready to set the captives free. Hallelujah. I think you can see that our God is such an awesome God. He wants us to stay connected. And that's what I've been talking about, is being connected. We talked about this three-phase system that we have here in the church. It's three-phase electrical system. You can be connected to one phase and you get partial power. But if you want the full impact of the power, you better have all three phases hooked up. And I believe that same thing applies spiritually. We need to come into the baptism of Christ. The Holy Spirit baptizes us in Christ. When we receive Christ, our personal Savior, we need to be baptized in water. Hallelujah. You know who does the baptism in water? Disciples do that. People of God, they do the baptism. And we need to be baptized with fire that we're talking about right now. And that fire baptism comes from Jesus himself. John said, when he saw Jesus coming, and he was talking about Jesus, he said, I baptize you with water for remission of sins. But the one coming after me, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. But he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Glory. Fire. I like that fire. I want to burn. I want to burn from the inside out. I want to be consumed with the power of God. And I want you to be consumed with the power of God. I want you to know that God has called you to that same place in your life. It's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fire in your life is not just for pastors, evangelists, apostles, prophets. It's for every believer. And when the body of Christ will catch fire, and I'm not, listen to me. I want you to understand, you're not necessarily going to get up here and rant and rave like a wild man like I'm doing this morning. Okay? Doesn't mean that you're going to go out there, whatever occupation you're involved in, whatever you're doing, it doesn't mean that God's going to call you to stand on a milk crate wherever you are, or a box or something, and proclaim Jesus all day long. No, he's called you to do a job. Amen. You do that job. But you do that job knowing that you have the power of God to impact people's lives. And when he opens the door for you, yeah, praise God. Give God glory and honor. He deserves it. Amen. So when you move in the power of God, it doesn't mean that God's going to change your personality. It means he's going to change you internally. Glory, and that internal change will flow out of you. It will impact the lives of the people that you come in contact with on a daily basis. It will, and sometimes, guess what? It will cause you to act like a wild man. Yes. You know, this is, you know, I'm not necessarily a wild man, but I feel like it this morning.
Hey, help yourself.
Amen. I feel the power of God. Now listen to me. Listen to me. I want you to understand something. I get up here some Sunday mornings and I preach with as much enthusiasm and excitement as I can, but I don't always feel it. Don't rely on your feelings. Rely on the power of God. Hear the voice of the living God speaking to your heart. Respond to him, not to your feelings, not to the things which are seen, for they're temporary. But the things which are unseen, because they're eternal in the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know if I'm ever going to get to this message or not. Yes. Hallelujah. We are talking about being connected and reconnected, and we want to be reconnected. So here we are this morning talking about fire. And listen, if we're going to stand against things like the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, we have to have the power of God in our life. If we're going to be able to resist this culture that we are in, the culture right now, the culture says participating in Halloween is okay. There's nothing wrong with it. That's what the culture says. Some of you struggle with that culture, and I understand that. I understand, because there's great pressure in the culture to conform. But I want you to understand, the biblical model that we have tells us that when we play around with the things of the enemy, and if you want to read in Deuteronomy 18, you can see a whole list of things that are forbidden for believers to be involved with. Yes, that was Old Testament. We're still believers in Jesus Christ. We're still believers in Yahweh, the living God. Okay? So we're to follow those principles. You'll see a whole list of things. Some of them, if you read them in the King James, you're not going to understand what they are. You read them in the New King James, a little clearer. You read them in other translations, you'll begin to understand that palm readers and soothsayers are people who cast spells, Wiccan, witchcraft, druids, and all these things, all these alternative earth religions. You know, I've mentioned this before, that not very far from us is a cult gathering place, right? The occult gathering place, where people who are involved with all kinds of earth worship gather on a regular basis to worship their gods. And it's all kinds of different gods. Some of them believe they have gods. Some of them believe there is really no God. They just worship the earth. But the reality is, these people have been and will continue, unless they are enlightened, they will continue in this deception, thinking that they are reaching God.
That's right.
But the true God says, do not fool with those things. Do not play games with those things. Flee from the appearance of evil.
Yes.
Doesn't he tell us that? So why do we want to dress up our children like little demons,
yes,
or witches,
yes,
and send them out into the culture so that they will be culturally relevant?
Well.
Amen,
sir.
Glory. I know you people believe. I'm on this high horse because Tammy told me about people on Facebook, and some of them are believers in Jesus Christ, and they're just so deceived, going to haunted houses and you know, all this kind of stuff. Now, I'm not telling you that's going to send you to hell. Please don't mishear what I'm saying. I want you to understand that doesn't send you to hell. What sends you to hell is rejecting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. However, as a warrior for Christ, as a believer in Christ, why do you want to put yourself in the enemy's camp? Why surround yourself with the enemy when you don't have to? And that's exactly what we do. Surround ourselves with the enemy. All right, now I'm sharing this with you this morning. I have high hopes this is going to go out on our podcast, and some of these people I'm talking about will hear it. Now, if they do, they may get mad. I've had people get mad at me before. And I understand some of the preachers don't, some of the pastors and the teachers, they don't even know about this stuff because they don't know what the Word of God says. They're ignorant. Some of them know what the Word of God says, and they're cowards. Boy, that's a strong word, isn't it? I hate to say stuff like that. I should be careful. They are afraid to speak what the Word of God says. You know why they're afraid? Because they know they're going to lose members when they speak the truth. And that's a tough place to be. I've been there. I've experienced it. I've spoken the truth. I've tried to do it in love. I've tried to share with people, you know, what is right and what is wrong according to the Word of God. But I want to tell you something. When you start stepping on people's sin and they don't want to change from their sin to righteousness, they'll get mad at you.
That's right.
And they'll use all kinds of excuses, all kinds of reasons, all kinds of lies to try to back up their position.
Amen.
But when you speak the truth, here's the good thing about speaking the truth. Like-minded people are drawn to the truth. And those who truly want to set their life on a course of blessing. You hear what I'm saying? I'm tying this into my message. Abundant living. Those who really want to set their life on the course of abundant living will be a part of it.
Yes, sir.
And that's what we're looking for. People who want to set their life on the course for abundant living. And we've talked about those first two steps. And we're talking this morning about the baptism of fire, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Who baptizes with the Spirit? Turn with me to John chapter 1. I've already made mention of this. John chapter 1, look at verse 32. Let's back up. Let's go to verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, this is so, so important for us to see. Here it is. John is baptizing with repentance, for repentance of sin. And he said, look, here comes the Lamb. Here comes the one, the Lamb that God established from the foundation of the world to take away all the sin of the world, to take it upon himself. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, and for he was born before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Okay. First of all, we see Jesus, and I talked about this extensively, so I don't want to go over it much more. But first of all, Jesus was perfect. He didn't need to be born again, but he told us we had to be born again. We had to be baptized into Christ. That's what the scripture says. I've given plenty of scripture to back that up. If you want that information, there's CDs available. Amen. Baptism with water. Jesus was baptized. What happened after he was baptized? Here's the three baptisms. You know, born again, baptized with water, and the Spirit. The Spirit came down as a dove, looked like a dove. It was not a dove representing the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that looked like a dove. Okay? It came down. Robert Morris tells a little story about a pastor. He was a pastor in a country church, and he wanted to do an illustration one Sunday morning. So above his pulpit was a vent that had been taken out, and he got a little boy, a 10-year-old boy, and he said, I want you to take this dove, and I want you to go up to the attic, and this morning, when I say the Holy Spirit, I want you to throw that dove down. So he got to the place in his sermon where he said, the Holy Spirit. Nothing happened. And he said, I said the Holy Spirit. Nothing happened. He said, I said the Holy Spirit. And a voice came down through the vent. Pastor, a cat ate the Holy Ghost. You want me to throw the cat down? Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost. It wasn't a dove looking like the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Spirit in the appearance of a dove. And what did it do? It rested upon Jesus. It came in, and there it was, right on him. And then, not only on him, in him. That's our example. Jesus sets that example for us. And if it's good enough for Jesus, guess what? Good enough for us. Amen. It's good for us. So Jesus is the one who baptizes. It says right here, Jesus is the one who baptizes with the Spirit. What does the baptism with the Spirit do? Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. I want to get through this as quickly as possible this morning because I want to pray for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not only receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I want to pray for those who you feel like that you're just, you know, you need your fire rekindled. Amen? Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And who did we just find out does the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Jesus. Amen. That's right. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." What is the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It is very plain. Power in your life. Power to be a witness. Power to overcome. Power to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. Thousands, hundreds and thousands of believers in Jesus Christ have received Christ as their Savior, have received the Holy Spirit, but they've never been baptized with power. They've never received the fullness of the Spirit in their life. And they're going around trying daily, striving to be able to be the kind of person that God wants them to be without the power to do it. I want you to have power. Power to live this life, this Christian life that Jesus Christ said we can live. Power to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Power to walk daily as a kingdom representative. God wants to immerse you with the Holy Spirit power. Who needs to be baptized with the Spirit? Acts 2. Just turn over to the second chapter of Acts. Of course, this is a chapter where the Holy Spirit descends upon all believers there. And it was the day of Pentecost. Is there anybody in here that does not understand the day of Pentecost? I'm not trying to embarrass you. If you don't, I want to explain it. If not, okay. All right, the day of Pentecost was a Jewish holiday. It was 50 days after Passover. And it was it still is. It's still observed by the Jewish, Orthodox Jewish people. But it was a harvest festival. And so what was happening during this time was that all the people, this is one of three feasts that all Jewish men were required to come to Jerusalem where the temple was every year. So what you got to get a picture of what was happening here. There was thousands of people in Jerusalem that normally wasn't there. This place was crowded. You know, if you had a motel, you were doing well at that time. Because, you know, there was a lot of people in there. If you had a restaurant, you were doing good. You know, this was a time, this was a big boost to the economy of Jerusalem. You know, we understand this. We all know that when there are festivals or seminars in different places, different areas, when people, thousands of people come in, guess what? The business is like that. It's a big boost. So there was a huge economic boost going on right now in Jerusalem. And what happened was God, the Spirit of God, Jesus told the disciples to wait. They didn't know it, but they were waiting for the day of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost came, because God established his feast to prove to us that he was still working in the earth, as an example of what he was going to do in the New Testament, Jesus died, on Passover, right? And he was resurrected on first fruits. You know that? There's two feasts right there close together. He was the first fruits of the Bible. The Word of God in New Testament tells us he's the first fruits of the resurrection. The reason it says that is because he came to life on the day, the first fruits festival. Amen. These festivals are very important. And we've got some in the future that are going to be even more important for us. Glory. Trumpets.
That's right.
Glory.
That's right.
These are good times that we're looking for.
That's right.
When those feasts are fulfilled. But anyhow, that feast, that was a Jewish festival, and God fulfilled his promises on those Jewish festivals. So that one was 50 days from Passover, which meant that now it's time for the Holy Spirit to be sent. And guess what happened? When the Holy Spirit was sent, people were filled with the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 souls were saved on that day. That's incredible. Called into the kingdom. Because, and listen, this is important. This was right on time. This was God's timing. This is God's big deal.
Yes.
We take it so lightly in the church these days because we don't understand the historical ramifications of all these feasts and the power that God used them to as an example for what he wanted to do and is still doing in the earth today. The feasts are fulfilled. Those spring feasts, they've all been fulfilled.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. And one that is so important to us is that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And we become recipients of the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Okay. So, we know, how many realize that Jesus was a Jew, right? Amen. His disciples were all Jews. Amen. All those who were born again on the day of Pentecost were Jews. Jesus came first for the Jew, he said. Let me share a scripture with you real quick. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is power of God. This is Apostle Paul writing. To salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. And now the word used there that is translated Greek, actually, it does refer to Greeks, but it has a much broader meaning. It means Gentiles, people who are not Jewish. So it's first for the Jew, and then it's for anybody else who wants to believe. Anyone who will come to the kingdom. Anyone who will say. In the Jewish, before Christ came, anyone who really wanted to be in favor with God had to become a proselyte Jew. And they had to go through certain rituals. Some of them I don't even want to mention because it makes me cringe. But the reality is they had to go through these things in order to be accepted. Now, all we have to do to be accepted in the kingdom of God and to be as much a Jew as the Jewish born person is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, confessing with our mouth,
amen,
believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we become a part of the kingdom. Hallelujah.
That's right. That's good, Pastor.
Yeah. I want to move on here. Throughout this, I want to show you this morning, and I'm just going to make reference to these things because of the time frame, but the Jews first received, and what happened? They received the power of the Holy Spirit. They spoke with other tongues. There are places where people receive Christ as their personal Savior. They were baptized, and it doesn't record that anybody spoke with tongues. Now, here's what I'm going to share with you, and I believe this with all my heart, that every person that receives the fullness of the Spirit has the ability to speak in a prayer language.
Right.
And you can exercise that in your prayer closet. You can exercise it today, anytime you want to exercise it. Not everybody exercises it. Not everybody chooses to. I believe it's power in your life, and you need to exercise that. However, not everybody uses it. What is more important to me is this, that you are on fire for the kingdom. That's what's important to me. I want you to be on fire because, you know, this speaking in tongues thing is prayer language. You'll get that. You'll move on. You'll understand the significance of it. In Acts chapter 10, we find Gentiles being Cornelius and his whole household. The apostle goes and preaches to them, Peter, I believe it is, goes and preaches to them and teaches them about the power of Jesus Christ and what he did for them. They receive Christ, and as soon as they receive, what happens? The Holy Spirit falls upon them, and they speak in other tongues. And then they're baptized. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Many times, people need to be baptized before they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But that there's not a fast rule on that. The scripture is real clear on it. I suggest that would be the order that you follow. Because all these things are spiritual. And they set the stage for the next thing to happen in your life. However, I'm not going to be the one to try to tie God's hands. If you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and you've never been water baptized, hallelujah, let's do it. Let's do it. Receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last thing I want to share with you this morning. How does a believer receive the baptism with the Spirit? You ask. You ask God in faith, believing. Just like you receive anything from God. But if you're asking and it's not in faith, believing, or somebody else is trying to get you to be baptized with the Holy Spirit because they think it's important for you, forget it. It has to be a desire of yours. It has to be something that you're very clear on and you understand that I do this by faith. Every person who received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, how did you do it? By faith. Amen. When you were baptized, unless your mother and father hogtied you and had you baptized, you probably were baptized because you had the faith to be baptized, water baptized. The same thing with the receiving the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the fire of the Holy Spirit, is that you have to desire it, you have to believe it, and you have to ask for it. Because that's God's way of doing things. He doesn't force anything upon us. He never has. He doesn't force salvation upon this world, but he makes it available. He doesn't force baptism, but he makes it available. He doesn't force the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but he makes it available for everyone. Hallelujah. The next way you receive it all, I want to read Luke 11:13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give Holy Spirit to them that ask him? All you got to do is ask and believe, and you'll receive. So the last thing, have Spirit-filled believers lay hands on you. Acts 8:17. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, once again, this is not some kind of religious ceremony, and it's not mandatory. Having believers who are filled with the Spirit lay hands on you is important. You can receive the Spirit that way. However, we can read in many different places, that place in Cornelius, no one touched them. They were just filled. They believed and filled. You can receive it any place, any time, if you desire. God, there's been so many believers that were in their own prayer closet, praying and saying, God, I desire the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And bam, they were baptized. It comes when you desire. However, this morning we are in a setting where I've just taught you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And because I've taught you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there should be great faith in this place. Amen? to receive the baptism of fire. And one of the ways that that was imparted to other believers was the laying on of hands. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to give believers the opportunity to receive the baptism of fire. I want to tell you a little story before I do. How many of y'all have heard of D.L. Moody? About everybody in here has heard of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was a believer in Jesus Christ. D.L. Moody was not a theologian by any means when it comes to as far as education goes. He was a very uneducated man, in fact. But D.L. Moody touched the world like few people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, in the late 1800s, D.L. Moody was pastoring a church. There was a lot of people came to that church. However, he was seeing very few conversions. He had two elderly ladies. Now, this is documented fact. I know if you've gone to traditional churches, denominational churches, you've never heard this story. But it's recorded in a book that his son wrote. He had two elderly women sitting on the front pew. And from time to time, they would say to D.L. Moody, "We are praying for you that you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit." D.L. Moody, he was a courteous man. He said, "Well, thank you, but I've already received the Holy Spirit." And he went on about his business. A few weeks later, they would say, "We are praying for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank you." Courteous exchange. But they just kept doing this. "We're praying for you, Pastor, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit." Well, he was intrigued by that, so he started looking in the Scripture to find out what the Scripture said about baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he came to the conclusion that he needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So he got on his floor and he moaned and he cried out to God to baptize him with the Holy Spirit. And he, his own account, he believed he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He rose up from that place and the next Sunday, he said he preached the same message that he, same messages are from the, his same messages that he always preached, and he got no response. He preached that same message that Sunday, and lots of people came forward. I can't say hundreds, but lots of people came forward and received Christ as personal Savior. Right after that, he took a trip to Great Britain, and he preached, and when he was preaching, thousands of people got saved. People would line up for hours in advance to hear him preach. When he came back to the States, wherever he went, hundreds and thousands of people would receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So there are some estimates that 100 million people not received, but heard the message because he was anointed by God with the fire of God in his life. You see, what I'm talking about will change the direction of your life. It will alter you, but not more than that. It will not only change you, but it will change people around you, which is much more important, I think. Because God's working on you, but he wants to work on others through you. He has some people for you to reach that no one else can reach. It's for you. All right. If you would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I want you to know, nothing weird is going to happen. I'm not going to stomp on you. I'm not going to jump up and down. I'm not going to force anything on you. I'm just going to lay hands on you. Elder Randy, would you please come forward too? Because this is the elders of our church.
Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.